So tonight we're going to talk about in Christ. In Christ. In Christ. God told me to go to the computer, the computer concordance, and look at the term in Christ. And in the King James and the New Testament, I found 76 verses that use the term in Christ. And I'm pretty sure that's not all, because there probably could be other ways that are basically the same, like with Christ or something like that. And I didn't have a chance to look at all of those because I just started this today. But I was very surprised. I looked at the term in Christ, and I found 76 verses that use that term. And, you know, I started trying to go through and kind of call out the ones that weren't maybe that good or that important, and it was really hard. You really couldn't. Generally, when you see the term in Christ in the Bible, it represents everything that God gave you when you got born again. Now, I used to believe, and I was taught that the term in Christ talked about your fellowship with God, but after some research and looking, I just don't believe that anymore. I believe that the term in Christ literally means whatever God gave you when you got born again. The can of beans. It's the can of beans. And so as you begin to look at the term in Christ, you see all that God gave you. Because see, when you got born again, you got everything that was available. You got everything. You got everything that I have. God doesn't give me what He doesn't give you. God doesn't give you what He doesn't give me. You got everything that there was. All you have to do is you have to learn about it. You got to believe it. You got to claim it. Ken Petty has a great expression. He says, the church today doesn't have a sin problem, it has an identity problem. Because people don't understand who they are in Christ. So I want to look at that, and I culled through, and I still came up with like 23 verses. So we're going to run through them. Some of them are pretty quick, and some of them are right together. The first usage of the term in Christ that I could find in the King James Bible is in Romans chapter 3, verse 24. And let's go to Romans chapter 3. Many times the first usage of a term, either in the Bible or like we're going to, like here in the church epistles, and it's actually only used one other time before this in the book of Acts. It's not used at all in the Gospels. And of course, it's not used in the Old Testament. So the first usage in the epistles, which is the books written to you, all right, is Romans chapter 3. And I think this is a very, very important verse. And it's more significant because it is the first time it is used. So in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, and I'm going to catch a little bit of this in context, okay? In verse 20 it says, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that what? Believe. It doesn't draw a distinction. Everyone who believes gets everything. We're all a whosoever, right? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. There it is. So what does it tell us here in this first usage in the church epistles? A, it's free, right? It also says it's given to everyone. And it talks about being justified freely. By what? By grace. We're all given the same grace. We're all justified. And remember, justified, you can remember it. Kind of a way to remember what it means is justified is just if I had never sinned. Just if I had never sinned, you're justified, which means you're clear of all charges against you. You're clear of everything that you could ever be accused of. Everything you've ever done, it's gone. So this first usage is really important. It has all that stuff in there. That it's free, it's by grace, and it's God giving us righteousness by way of justification You have the ability to stand before God free from sin because God has wiped them all out. That's the first usage of in Christ Jesus. The next one is in Romans, and is also a great one. Romans 8:1. And really, it's the same thing, kind of the same concept. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." No. That's not in the text. I'm sorry. That's not there. If you look at other versions, if you look at newer versions of the Bible, a lot of them don't even have those words in there. That they actually don't belong in the original text. And I'll tell you why. Is because it's not about your walk. See, if you read the end of Romans chapter 7, it's all about Paul being upset because he never could live up to God's standards. Right? That's what it's about. It says in verse 19 of chapter 7, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." In other words, he's saying, I want to do good, but I can't do it. I just can't bring myself to do it all the time, and I end up doing the evil stuff that I don't want to do. And he says in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And that who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit should not be there." It was put there by somebody who added it in. And like I said, if you go to other versions of the Bible, I don't have my iPad. If you look at other versions of the Bible, let's look at a couple of other versions. But it's in the Amplified, it's in italics, which means what?
Added.
It was added in. In the Amplified, it's in italics, which means it was added in. Okay. If you look at the New Living, let's look at the New Living.
It's in there in
WMA. No, it's not.
No,
it's not here. That New Living says, "Now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus." That's the end of the verse.
Oh, okay.
The Good News, it's not there. Okay. It's not there. And what see, here's the thing. You've got to realize, you're standing before God. Is it dependent upon your works or not?
No.
So if you qualify, there's no condemnation because of you walk in the flesh and not in the... You walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh, then that's... You're standing before God is based on what? Your works, your walk, which is your works. That's why it doesn't belong there. It can't fit there. Now it's down there in a couple of verses later. It's in there, and it's supposed to be in there. Okay. Now think about this. I'm gonna leave it out, and we're gonna read it. There is therefore now no condemnation, and that word condemnation literally means ultimate condemnation. In other words, like a death sentence. There is no death sentence for you who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Listen to this. Now here's where it fits. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. And how do you walk? How do you fulfill the righteousness of the law? What fulfills the law? It'll be on the test, okay? Walking in love fulfills the law. So you fulfill the law as you walk what? By the Spirit and not by the flesh. So that's where it fits. Your salvation isn't determined by what your walk, but as you walk, you fulfill the law. Because remember, what did Jesus say were the first two things of the law? Two important rules of the law: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And as you walk in love, you fulfill the law. So that's where it fits. So is there any condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus? No. Is it dependent upon your walk? It is not. It's dependent upon the free gift of God. That's the can of beans. The salvation. And a lot of other stuff. Romans 8:39. Can anything separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord?
No.
Nothing. Nothing. For I am persuaded, verse 38, that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation. That's what it means. That's what the King James should have there. Nor anything else in creation, nor any other creature, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I separate you from the love of God? No. Can you separate me? Here's the big question. Can you separate yourself? No. You can't do it. Not even you can separate yourself from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember, we don't have a sin problem. We have an identity problem. We don't know who we are. We don't understand who we are. If you've got $1,000 in the bank, if you don't know it's there, can you spend it? No, you can't. We don't understand that we've already got the can of beans. We keep trying to go into the store and buy it ourselves. We keep going back to that aisle and putting the can of beans up there, and they're like, sorry, you can't buy it. It's already been bought. So Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. When you got born again, the moment you got born again, you became part of the body of Christ. And again, I'm going to run through some of these pretty quick. 1 Corinthians, next book. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1:30, but of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. And that word redemption is an interesting word. And see, it was also back in Romans chapter 3, the word redemption. It says, being in Romans chapter 3, it said, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And here it is again in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Redemption literally is a paid ransom to free you. You were a captive, and Jesus Christ paid the $1 million or whatever it was necessary to free you from captivity. So, but of Him are ye in Christ, who of God is made us, unto us, wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. This is a good one, another good one. They're all good, frankly. I mean, golly, I had a hard time even calling it down to this many. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. For as in Adam all die. Now think about this. In Adam, when you were born of the flesh, at the moment you're born, really maybe even at the moment you're conceived, you're condemned to death, right? At that moment, you're condemned to death. You're going to die. Can't do anything about it. We've all tried. People have spent they spend billions of dollars a year trying to stay young. Yeah, well, there was something on the internet, or on TV the other day, about how it's like $3.5 billion industry was, you know, trying to stay young, right? In Adam, all die. Even so, in Christ, shall all be made alive. At the moment you're born again, you are guaranteed eternal life. Just like the moment you were born, you were guaranteed death. At the moment you're born again, you're guaranteed life. So in Christ Jesus, shall all be made alive. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I would encourage you to go to your computer and go to blueletterbible.com and put the term in Christ in print, you know, in quotations, and look at all the different usages of it and look at the context. It's really, I mean, it's just, I'm skipping. I got this page here. There's, you know, 15 of them, and I got three. I'm reading three of them. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. A few other great verses. in verse 14. Now, thanks be unto God. Now, remember, in Christ is what you got the moment you were born again. Look at what this says. It's not dependent upon your works. Now, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Always causes us to triumph in Christ. For we are, and makes manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that are perished. In them that perish. For to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. That word corrupt in verse 17 is an interesting word. I looked it up today. The Strong's meaning has a couple of different meanings. One meaning is to dilute or adulterate, to water down. Now think about this. We are not as many which water down the word. Well, what does it mean to water down the word? Well, no, what it means is this. It's like watering a drink, you know, to dilute it. It means to, here's the word, but I'm going to, well, it's really as simple as this. I'm going to give you the word, but I'm going to take all this other stuff and I'm going to teach with it that really isn't the word. That's what it means to water down the word, to teach a bunch of junk that doesn't really belong there. I've got all this stuff. You know, Ken Petty, he talked about he talked about the oral traditions that the Pharisees would teach back in the times of Christ. What is that? They're watering it down. They're diluting it. The other definition for this is to sell something for sordid gain. In other words, to use it for your own benefit. You know, I'm going to set myself up as the man of God, so you'll give me a bunch of money, and you'll do all this, and you'll do all that. And in other words, that my motive is wrong. Okay, that's the other definition. It's interesting, isn't it? To water down the word. It's just perfect. Even in the time of Paul, here we are. People were already doing that stuff. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is a great one. I've said that about every verse, haven't I? This is a great one, man. This is a great one. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now think about this again. This is what you got when you got born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. You're a new creation. You're a new species of man. You're no longer a man of body and soul. You're a man of body, soul, and spirit. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You're a completely new type of human being, a new person, because you've got the Holy Spirit now. You are a new creature, completely new. That's who you are. Remember, it's not a sin problem, it's an identity problem. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4. And remember, the book of Galatians is about where Paul was fighting legalism. Where, you know, the Pharisees and the leaders of the church were coming around after Paul and saying, yes, 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 you're born again. But now, to really get it right, you've got to start doing what? Doing the law. The whole thing, that yoke of bondage that they couldn't bear themselves, the Israelites, the Jews, they were what? Wanting to put it on everybody else. So in verse 4 it says, and that because of false brethren, unaware, brought in, who came in privily or privately or under the radar, sneaked in, thank you, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, that's the word freedom. Freedom from what? Freedom from the law, freedom from rules and regulations, freedom from bondage. Who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have where? In Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. The liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Let's go to verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So remember, the moment you got born again, you became a member of the body of Christ. So the moment you got born again, you became part of the body of Christ, and you were the same as everybody else. There's nobody better than you. And you're no better than anybody else. You're all members equally of the body of Christ. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And what is that new creature? That's the new man, the man of body, soul, and spirit. So, you know what? It doesn't matter if you work, or it doesn't matter if you don't work. See, it says circumcision doesn't do anything for you, and neither does uncircumcision. It's not better to be circumcised or to follow the law, and it's not better to not follow the law. Neither one matters. What's important is the new creature, the new creation that God created in you the moment you got born again, that man of body, soul, and spirit, for there is no condemnation. For in Christ there is no condemnation. Ephesians chapter 1. Next book over. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The moment you got born again, you got it. You got all spiritual blessings. All of them. Every single one of them. But remember, if you don't know the $1,000 is in your bank account, you can't spend it. You need to learn about the promises. You need to believe the promises. You need to claim the promises. Ephesians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 5. Let's start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what you got. You didn't earn it. You didn't earn that place. You didn't earn that place next to God at His right hand. You didn't earn it. You were placed there through what? God's mercy, God's love, and God's grace. That's why you were given that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You're that new creature, remember? The new creature. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That is, and God created that new creation in you to do good works. You got it the moment you were born again. Ephesians chapter 3. Maybe this really restates something that we had seen earlier. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. That we are all joint heirs with Christ. See, you're a joint heir with Christ, and guess what you are? You're a joint heir with each other. How about that? Everyone is entitled to everything that Christ is entitled to in God's kingdom because we're joint heirs. And we're all joint heirs with each other. We're all entitled to everything that all the rest of us have. Huh? We're all in the will. We all get it all. He said, I'm going to give everything to everybody. That's what I'm going to do. Here's my will. I'm going to give everything to everybody. So you look at men, for instance. You look at men who maybe have healing ministries or have, you know, other teaching ministries or whatever else they have. And in you is the inherent ability to do whatever they're doing and more. That they're not special necessarily. They have just believed God to operate it. That's right. That's really what they've done. They believed God to operate. You speak in tongues and interpret, for instance. Everybody here has the ability to do that. Some of us do it, some of us don't. But everybody has the ability. Some people have just believed to do it and have had the desire to do it. Now remember, God's gonna make you do anything you don't want to do. So you've got to have the desire to have that type of ministry also. But if you've got the desire, God will fulfill it in you. He really will. You go to God, you say, God, this is what I want to do. If you want to have a healing ministry, God will give you a healing ministry. If you have the desire, God will give you a healing ministry. He'll do it. Whatever you want, whatever ministry you want, as long as the need is there, God will give it to you. You'll get it. God will put people in your path to heal. You just got to get out of the box and do it. Like Larry did the other day. Go to Dairy Queen, man. Look around for people. Look, I've walked up to people in Walmart and healed. I've walked up to people in Walmart and said, I want to minister. I want to pray for you. And you know, nobody ever says no. Nobody ever says no. Oh, no. Don't touch me with those hands.
I had somebody at HEB come up to me. They wanted me to minister.
Can I just pray for you? No, no. Get away from me. I've even had like unbelievers say, well, okay, sure. And then after it was over, they were like, well, you know, I'm not sure I believe in that. I'm like, well, that's okay. God loves you anyway. I mean, you know, maybe it'll happen 1 out of 100 times, but it doesn't happen very often. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. Yeah, really. Well, since you know more than I do, why don't you pray for me? Okay, we're going to skip ahead. I'm skipping 2 pages. We're going to skip ahead. That's a good comeback. Well, then would you pray for me? Because since you have it together and I don't. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy. We're going to jump. I skipped 2 pages of these things. 2 pages of these things. I skipped ahead. We'll never get done if I cover them all. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1 verse 9. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Look at this. Not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us where? In Christ Jesus. When? Before the world began. It says in Ephesians that you were chosen in Him before the foundations of the world. God knew, we're not talking about predestination, okay? Because you got your own choice. God isn't going to force you to do anything. But He knew you were going to believe. And so He said, they're going to believe. So therefore, I'm preordaining them to be like the image of My Son. I'm preordaining them to have that heavenly body. What does it say here? He called us with a holy calling. I'm preordaining them to have the to walk in My word, to have the calling, to be My son and daughter, to be my child. Not because you didn't have a choice, but because He knew in His foreknowledge that that's what you're going to have. So before the world began, before you were born, your mom and dad was born, your grandparents were born, God had already picked you to be His child before Abraham Lincoln. Before the world began. Wow. So chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, chapter 2, verse 1 of 2 Timothy, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 10 of chapter 2. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And now we're going to look at the last usage of this term in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 5. Man, once you tap into this stuff and you begin to really see who you are in Christ, you don't need rules and regulations. You know why? Because you're going to want it so bad that you'll do anything to get it. It's so awesome. It's so awesome. You know, I've had things I've changed in my life because I wanted my ministry to grow, and I saw it. That when I made changes in my life, that's when I saw my ministry leap to the next level. And it wasn't because I had to do it or got anybody forced me to do it. It's because that's what I wanted. I want it so bad. I want God's blessing so bad that I'll do whatever it takes to get them. So 1 Peter chapter 5, this is the last usage of in Christ. And like I said, I mean, if I went and looked at with Christ, and maybe there's some other ways it can be stated that probably mean about the same thing. So, you know, this may not be the last usage, but from what I see, so far this is the last usage. And you know what? We'll look at it, and it's important. Because again, the first usage was talking about grace and love and justification and forgiveness and redemption. And the last usage is about peace. Greet ye one another with a kiss, verse 14. Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 14. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. That when you really have it all, when you really know who you are, man, just think of the peace that you'll have when you really figure it out. That you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you, and that you really do have all the blessings, and that you can operate. We used to say, the expression we used to use was all nine all the time. You know? So tongues, interpretation, prophecy, faith, miracles, healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. All nine all the time. Anytime you need it, whatever you need, you can do it. All nine all the time. Because that's what God really wants us all to do. Amen? Okay. Well, let's pray and hear from God. Wrap it up. And I could probably have another teaching on the other ones in here, you know. There's so many. Huh? Everything really is attached to this. I mean, there's so much in here. Of course you can. Right. That's the can of beans. Everything is in the can of beans. Everything is there. It's a pretty good can of beans. That's the best can you can have. That's right. Okay, well, Father, thank you so much. Wow. You know, it's almost hard to fathom. It's just almost hard to fathom that's what we really have. It's hard to believe that. It's like somebody walks up and they want to give you $1 million. And you know what you would say? You wouldn't believe it. You would go, no, 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 no. Nobody's going to give me $1 million. I mean, nobody's going to give me $1 million. Who would give me $1 million? Yeah, people, and you know what you would do? You'd probably go, no, you don't have to do that. Don't worry about it. And you would always think, they're really not going to do it. Somebody's going to pop up and go, like, okay, for us old guys, candy camera, right? For the old people, candy camera. You're on candy camera. And now on the new one, it's what? You've been punked, right? You've been punked. Really, right? That's what we would think. Where's the camera? Where's the hidden camera? I mean, you know, if somebody walked up and said,
"Hey, what's the catch?
What's the catch? What have I got to do for you? Or what have I got to do?" Or you're going to say, "No way. It's no way." And that's human nature. And so when you hear that Jesus Christ did this for you, that God gave you all these things, that's our human nature to go, "No, no, come on. Really? No. You're not going to really do that. I mean, give me a break. I mean, do I look like an idiot? I know you're not going to give me $1 million. Do I look like an idiot? Come on. That's human nature. It's almost hard to believe that somebody would give you
that. But think about this.
That.
Like kids, if I take out a $20 bill and ask David, do you want it? David will immediately say yes.
He'll snatch it before you change your mind, right?
Because kids are smarter than the adults.
Before you change your mind, they're going to go grab it before you change your mind. But God gave you $1 million, and he's not taking it back. The gifts and calling of God are what? Irrevocable. Irrevocable. Yeah.
I messed up today. Okay, there's that word.
That's right. Irrevocable. Woo, thank God for that. Okay, well, Father, just thank you so much. It's just hard to believe what you have really given us. We're going to keep trying. We're going to keep trying to believe it and accept it and act upon it. Thank you so much for your unfathomable love and your grace and mercy and all that you've given us because of that. And that the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to die, to live his life perfectly, and then to die to give it to us. Thank you so much for that. So, Father, we come to you and just glorify you and ask you for each one of us to really show each one of us, to touch our hearts individually, to begin to help us understand, because I think the understanding is beyond human comprehension. It's got to take the Spirit of God to really understand it. For each one of us to really understand the magnitude of what we have in Christ Jesus. So thank you, Father, for each of us and continuing to show us that, continuing to open up our minds to and continue to enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that we can really know what this is and the great magnitude of it. Thank you, Father, for how you do continue to watch over us and take care of us. And that, Father, each of us can walk out, claim your promises, claim those terms of the contract, and live the life that we should live for you. Not because we're obligated to, but because, man, there's just nothing else, there's nothing better in the world to do than that. Thank you for all this in the name of Jesus Christ. And anybody else want to pray or need to pray or...